It's interesting to think that I am Peter Quinn from Candy Machine, because that was 30 years ago, and so like I have this other things I've done in my life and other bands, and I just left my job of 12 years as a creative director in DC, and so it's like just sort of like interesting to think this is the persona that someone identifies you as the most important, but. In some ways, I also think of myself as that, even though I've done these other things, like I'd be sitting in a boardroom at Visa, and someone would say to me, let's go around the room, and everyone tell us your titles, and I'll say, like, I'm Peter Quinn, I'm a creative director, I was in a band called Candy Machine, and I'm not like these other people. And that was always my, like, sort of, and people around me are like, oh, God, he's doing the band thing. Oh, God, yeah. But in earnest, it is a thing that is like, it's like a war scar in some ways. It's like, you know, everyone who's tells any band stories, it's always, even like, you know, bands today, bands yesterday, there's a sort of the camaraderie between bands that understand, like, it's hard work. Like, there's bad shit goes on. And it's really difficult. And we've had some, you know, Lyle's here and can corroborate some of this stuff. Lyle, the drummer from Candy Machine. Can I put your hands together for Lyle, the drummer of Candy Machine? So, you know, Candy Machine was awesome, but we were not liked in a lot of places. And it's not because we weren't good, it's because we were too smart for them. We would do well in New York, and we'd do well in Chicago, and we'd do well in Minneapolis. We played to 3,000 people in Minneapolis, killed it, just amazing. And then we'd go to El Paso, and there'd be like three guys playing foosball in the back of the room, and we'd have no money, you know. And then we'd come back and be like, oh, what was your tour like? It was so great. Yeah, that must have been, do you have groupies? I don't know. Like, my memory of touring is like, it's kind of like Apocalypse Now. It's like we went up 30 clicks down 83 and to the Dengue River, and I saw a lot of changes in across the country while we were touring over 8 years. You know, like for instance, I remember I used to play with Trenchmouth, and Fred Armisen was in Trenchmouth, and I remember talking to him and saying he worked at a Starbucks. I'd say, "What's a Starbucks?" And he got, "Oh my God, you don't know what a Starbucks is? They're going to take over the country." But truth be told, it was just impossible to get a good cup of coffee like anywhere in middle America. So, like, you know, in some ways they elevated – I hate Starbucks, by the way. But they elevated coffee, and, you know, I damned them to hell. But I was talking to a few people, and they're like, what stories are you going to tell? I don't know. And my friend Randy texted me and said, you should tell the toilet story. I thought, do I want to talk about a toilet? I don't know. Anyway, for those of you who don't know, and for, you know, band people back there, you will appreciate this, is that you're in a club, you're about to go on, you got to use a toilet, and you want to make sure that you have some privacy to get your mind together. But there's no green room, there's no backstage. It's like, it's worse than the auto bar bathrooms, right? It's like... CBGB's I can think of is like maybe one of the worst bathrooms ever. It's like ever. Worst. You know, you're like, I gotta go to the bathroom and I want some privacy. And it's like, it's just a tiled room with toilets and no stalls and no. There's no door. There's no, like, it's just, it's like a prison. You're like, I, whenever I see a prison movie, I think, I've been in CBGB's, I understand what that is. Emos, you know, in Austin, like my memory of these clubs sometimes is the bathrooms. You know, I'm just like, these are the worst. Like, I could like rate them, you know, Yelp them on their bathrooms. I have no idea if it's the same today. That was a long time ago. But there is one bathroom story. We had a disastrous tour. This one tour, we did a 5-week tour around the country, and don't get me wrong, it was so much fun. It was like incredible. It was. You know, touring back then was a very, very different animal than it is today. Is, you know, there's no internet, there's no cell phones. You book a list; it's all handwritten. you don't have Google Maps. You're like trying to figure out, you have a map, you figure out how to get to the show. Sometimes your shows are 5 hours away. Sometimes your show isn't happening when you drive there. And, excuse me. So like this one tour we took around the country, it was just one disaster after another. We were booked in LA and San Francisco the same night. We got kicked out of Canada and lost a week of our shows. We found ourselves like sitting for 3 days in Missoula with a friend who put us up, and we tried not to spend money. I just smoked my brains out the whole time. And then there was one time when we were coming around the loop down the West Coast, we had to make our way from San Diego to a show in Phoenix, Arizona. Looks like north of Phoenix. It wasn't even Phoenix. It was north of Phoenix. And we get there, and it's this sort of like strip mall rock club with like Dayglo / letters on the side, like rock. And we're like, this is not looking good, but let's just check it out. And we get inside, and the only thing I remember about the bill, there are five bands on the bill, and our name wasn't listed. And Dirty Rotten Imbeciles was on the bill. So I go in, this music's blaring. It's this cheesy, it's really cheesy strip mall rock club. Like, it's a place we probably shouldn't be playing. And I go to the bouncers there, and this music is blaring, and I'm yelling at the guy. I'm like, we're Candy Machine. And he goes, It's over there. And I'm like, no, we are Candy Machine. He's, again, it's over there. You know, he's like, the music, he can't hear me. And I take him aside. I'm like, we're supposed to be on this bill. We're Candy Machine. We just drove like 5 hours. Like, do you not know who we are? And he said, no, there's been a mix-up. I don't know who you are. And this is really bad because sometimes we were making just enough money to get to our next show and maybe a hotel room. And we talked to him. We say, listen, we don't care about this. But we have to make our way to Tucson, and we need gas money. If we play before all your other bands for, like, I don't know, half an hour, you give us $50, and we'll get out of your hair. And he went, oh, yeah, that sounds great. You know, we'll just do that. So we're all pissed off. We get up, and we quickly put our gear together, put our stuff on stage, play this like really fast show, blast through these songs, and we're just pissed off. We pull our stuff up, pack up, everyone's moving out. I get the $50, or somebody does, and I say, we're almost ready to go. I go, we're about to get on a 3-hour drive to Tucson. I have to go to the bathroom. So just wait for me. I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, this is just the worst. I have to, you know, use this rock club bathroom. It's going to be terrible. I go in. It might have been the size of this room. And it's a black box, like, with spray paint on the walls. And in the center of the room, against the wall, is a stall. And a urinal. And that's it in the room. And around the stall, well, the stall itself is a chain link fence. And it reminds me of like After Hours, that film where it's just like this one, it's a crazy mix up and everything just going wrong. And I'm thinking, I have to do this. Like, I have to do it. So I'm, I open up the chain link fence. I close the chain link fence. I sit down on the toilet. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the worst fucking moment of my life. And all of a sudden, no one's in the room. Like, at least no one's in the room. Door opens. Guy comes in. Uses the urinal. The urinal is like right here. Like, if I turn and look, I'm looking at everything. And I could probably feel some splashing if I like thought about it. Like, it's that close. So I'm sitting there thinking, this is just this is terrible. It's the worst. And all of a sudden, he looks over to me and goes, "Hey, man, were you in that band?" And I'm like, fuck. Yeah, that was my band. And he went, "Hey, man, that was a good show." And I thought, well, this is like what it's like being in a band. So anyway, that's my story. See ya.